This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Trouble. We're going to get two into the left field corner. And Grichik has stretched the Cardinal lead to 5-0.
It was a really tightly contested game. It could have gone either way. Unfortunately for us, it's gone their way too often. We got to do something about that. So, you read about it, read all about it. It looks like a bad night. That night, then he made it look worse than it actually was. I thought we did a lot of good things again, right with them again, but we got to prove it and we got to do it. And maybe two games more is a good thing.
Cubs lose to the Cardinals. There he is, Joe Maddon, Cubs manager, in the wake of the 6-0 loss last night that looks a lot worse than it was. We had a 0-0 game in the seventh with John Lester cruising with a no-hitter into the seventh before that thing jumped the tracks, and he gives up 2 unearned runs. Cubs lose 6-0, 4 runs off Edwin Jackson in the ninth inning.
I like what Maddon said there. We got to prove it. Maybe it's a good thing that we're playing two today. They win today, sweep a doubleheader. And by the way, can we – I know that everybody wants to squeeze every last dollar out of everything, but I would just love to start a doubleheader, keep it going, not have to clear the park, just roll. I'd love to – I wish it was a beautiful day and not raining. I could head out.
Spoken like a true liberal who doesn't own the team.
Spoken like a true fan who appreciates how great –
Yeah, and if you were the owner of the team, and if I was the owner of the team, you would do a split doubleheader too when you talk about the millions of dollars.
Please.
You're the first greedy whatever that's going to go, I got to leave the Hawks and go get the most money out there.
Wait.
Now you want to start just giving away games for free.
Oh, okay.
You lost your mind.
Let's think this through for a second here, David. Sometimes when you open up the gates and you let people in, mm-hmm. and they're there for a nice, beautiful day of a doubleheader, there's some 10-year-old who's there and he just had the time of his life, that will pay you off on the back end.
Okay, since it's a rainout that's been inserted in there today,
yeah.
What about the people who had those seats for the regularly scheduled game?
The people that...
I'm sitting in aisle 116,
yeah.
Row 4, seats 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Uh-huh.
And you go to the early game with your 3 friends. And you go, I ain't leaving, I'm staying.
Do you not know how doubleheader tickets work? If you had a ticket for the April game that was rained out or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, that ticket is good for any game the rest of the season. Back in the old days, you could.
Right, but this game is tonight's game is sold out.
Well, and that's...
So what are you going to do with the people that you want to just let them in and let them stay? You have to be a Grateful Dead experience?
Nothing wrong with a Grateful Dead experience, but listen, if there are seats for that game, then you can get in with those tickets. If there aren't, well, then you could pick another Cardinals game, or you could pick another game on the schedule where there's room. So that's the luck of the draw. But the old school doubleheader, are you really going to knock on the old school doubleheader, a young David Kaplan going out to Wrigley and taking in 2 games? Those are great days. Those days there should be at least once throughout the season, twice throughout the season, a nice doubleheader. Let's play 2, the spirit of Ernie Banks. We shouldn't have to leave the park, go over to Murphy's, and come on back. That's not the way it should work.
I don't disagree with you, but it's just never going to happen because of the financial impact.
Yeah, but the financial impact. Do you realize how much money baseball is making? They don't need the gate for every single game. They just don't. The majority of the dollars in the TV, there's 8,000 gazillion people on MLB.com all signed up, 30-year-olds, you know, watching your fine games. I love MLB at bat or whatever it's called. I watch the condensed game, I watch the regular games, the whole deal. They got plenty of dough, man. They can have a doubleheader every now and then.
I'm glad you're able to count everyone else's money.
I'm glad that you're able to feel bad for a Tom Ricketts.
I'm not feeling bad for a Tom Ricketts, but you're not going to get Major League Baseball owners. There's revenue sharing on the attendance, so it's not all their money to keep, the Cubs. You're not going to get them to go, you know what? 38,000 times an average price of whatever it is. Nah. You know what? We're just going to be good guys and give that away. That'd be just stupid.
It's called the rhythm of the baseball season. Now you're asking your players to be at the park for 12-plus hours today. You give up something when you go day-night, Cappy. Nothing's for free. And I know that on the immediate, they get more dollars. But not... Listen, when you start your baseball playoff games at 9 o'clock on the East Coast because you're trying to get every last dollar, well, some young fans maybe aren't watching the game then. People that you could perhaps have for 50, 60 years might end up going to another sport because you're just starting it that late. Sometimes you got to think long term. It's not always just grab every last cent that you could get in the moment.
Whatever, Mark. Thanks. 312-235-2525. Ray in Indiana has a quick comment. Hey, Ray.
Hey, it's Greg.
Okay, Greg. Hey, Greg. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you? Hey, love the show. Long time, first time caller.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Just had a comment. I kind of agree with Carm on this one. I'm old enough to remember when you could actually go to a doubleheader and they played back to back. And I love that experience. I'm going to be 60 next year, so it's been a long time since you could do that, but I think it was a good time. So,
thank you, Ray.
I went to them. I don't disagree, and I used to be a vendor when they had good old-fashioned doubleheaders. But the money that's at stake today, and we appreciate your call, Ray. Have a good rest of your week, buddy. The money that's at stake plus the TV schedules and the TV dollars, just not going to happen, dude. It's not the good old days anymore.
How much pub do the Cubs get if they say, you know what, we're going old school doubleheader today. We want our fans to enjoy two games. We love all the modern amenities that we've added to the ballpark, but we still want to have that 1960s feels every now and then. Look at this 7-0-8. Nothing better than a tri-night doubleheader with Wilbur Wood starting both games. Were you around for Wilbur Wood starting both games?
Absolutely. I remember Wilbur Wood starting both games. I remember Wilbur Wood.
That is before my time.
Again, it's not a big deal.
You could be all over every single website, the Cubs doing it the right way, or the White Sox, or whoever. Just give me one time all year. That's all I'm asking. One old school doubleheader. You have 80 home dates instead of 81. Trying to make the world a better place, Cappy.
You want to add a middle reliever? That doubleheader pays for your middle reliever.
They have enough money. They've got every single scoreboard that you could possibly have. By the way, people are also sitting behind the scoreboard in right field, exactly how I thought it would be. Nobody cares in the rooftops if they can see the game or not. It's sold out behind the scoreboard in right field. They're all just sitting there watching TV, drinking beers, having hot dogs, flirting away, doing their business meetings, whatever. You don't even have to see the field. Completely irrelevant. Nobody even goes to a baseball game and actually watch the game. Everybody's just talking to their buddy on their phone, this, that. I knew those seats.
The amazing thing is I'm sitting there yesterday and I said I'm not going to tweet at all. I don't think I tweeted once in the game. And I'm looking around. Do you know how many people are putting themselves at risk of getting hit by a line drive because they're all like this?
Yes.
Like, what are you doing at the game?
Right, what's the point? And how? By the way, how haven't you gotten hit?
What's that?
At the cap, man.
Wasn't on my phone.
Normally you are, though, aren't you?
Not at the game when I'm watching the game, no.
Okay.
Up in the press box, I might.
Well, you're safe up there.
But if I'm sitting in the seats as a fan, no, I'm not a big tweeterer. I'm not saying I've never sent a tweet, but no.
I can't help myself when I'm sitting there. My mind goes every which way. Something's going on. And then I realize I've seen maybe at best an inning of this game, really actually consumed it.
Yeah, see, I like to consume the game.
Baseball's hard to consume, man.
Did you watch the Cub game?
Yes.
So yesterday when they had the man on first and third and Castro up,
yep.
Bryant's on first.
Uh-huh.
My wife's yelling for Madden to have Bryant steal second.
To Lester Strode? Was she attacking Strode again?
She did not attack Lester. He gave us cookies, though, during the game, which was very
nice.
Did
he really?
Yeah, a package of vanilla Oreos. By the way, did you see the new Oreos that are coming out? Thins? Oreo Thins? They're not a diet Oreo. They're just a thin Oreo. Kind of stupid.
That's nice of Oreo.
Anyway, yep. She's yelling that they should have Bryant steal second.
So
you stay out of the double play. And I said, it's not Billy Hamilton over there at first. It's Chris Bryant. And you got Yadier Molina. And if he guns him out, everyone's going to go, what an idiot. You got first and third one out with Castro up. Why would you do that? And sure enough, he hits into a double play, and she's like, see, I told you.
Yeah, you can't say, see, I told you on that. You were dead right. You're not running on Yadi Molina. Come on, at Mindy J. Cap.
Anyway, Scott Paddock's here. He's going to jump into the studio and talk Notre Dame basketball with us. That's all coming up. Of course, he's the president of Chicagoland Speedway. 312-235-2525. He'll also be joining us later on Sports Talk Live. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. to the bottom of the track. Jr. will win at Daytona. And the big one happens behind them.
Oh, my God.
The three of Austin Dillon into the catch fence. All the crews getting out to that car to assist these drivers. Thumbs going up from all the crew members, and the crowd roars.
They raced at Daytona until 3 o'clock in the morning. Dale Earnhardt Jr. gets the win, and then Austin Dillon, in a horrific crash, walks away. He was on with Matt Lauer this morning. Scott Paddock, Chicagoland Speedway president, is in our studio. Carmen for David Hall, who's on vacation. Good morning, Scotty. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be back with you.
All right, so I have the video up on my computer, and Mike Jacobson, our great producer, had told me to watch it earlier, and holy smokes, that accident was brutal. How is he not injured?
Well, it was intense, and we've seen that, you know, before at these super speedways. You know, there's a lot on the line as they head down turn four, trying to get to that checkered finish line. And, you know, I think this speaks, and Austin Dillon referred to this morning in his interviews, it speaks to just how safe these race cars are. I mean, it's amazing kind of the R&D safety developments that have taken place over the years. Everything from roof flaps on the car to the Hans head and neck safety restraint device. You know, things like safer barrier that racetracks like ours built into the wall to absorb that impact. So the sport is safer than it's ever been. And, you know, when something like this happens, safety is a never-ending pursuit. You know, we're never going to stop leveraging R&D and new technologies to find a way to make the sport safer, both for the race fans and for the competitors themselves.
How much of a battle is it, though, for you that when you get the most attention, it's around a crash, and that's really not something, in theory, that you'd want to promote?
Well, and Austin mentioned that this morning. He said, you know, the drivers actually, there's two dynamics when you're talking about super speedway racing on a track like Daytona or Talladega. There's the speeds. I mean, clearly they're pushing the envelope, hitting speeds about 200 miles per hour. But also this dynamic of the pack racing with the aerodynamic package, it keeps those 43 race cars pretty much in a pack. And as Austin mentioned this morning, the drivers like that. That's how they can pass. That's how they can maneuver. They like that style of racing. And certainly the fans like that style of racing. So I think NASCAR, as they always do when something like this happens, they're going to, you know, evaluate things and, you know, maybe make sure that that's the speeds, you know, that they should be racing at. Or, you know, I'm sure they're revisiting that and having some good conversation this week about that.
What type of money goes into, like, at your track? You know, as I watch that accident, you see the catch fence, which now has to be completely repaired. What type of money are we talking about to safety-proof the track for fans and for drivers?
Oh, you're talking, you know, millions and millions of dollars, Cap. Not just that catch fence, but, you know, even the walls. An engineer out of the University of Nebraska developed something called Safer barriers, and it's an insulative device that material that goes in and built in the racetrack, and you know, it absorbs that crash impact, and that's done, you know, wonders to make the sport safer for the drivers on impact. And so there's, you know, again, the pursuit of safety is never ending, and that's the beauty about technology and research and development. There's always ways to refine it, to upgrade it, and leverage those technologies, and that's what we do on a continual basis.
The loss of Dale Earnhardt Sr., and I still remember, was it Bill France who came out and said, we just lost Dale Earnhardt, when he made that horrible announcement?
Mike Helton, yeah, Mike president Helton. Of NASCAR, yeah.
Okay, if you go back to that time, had we had the Hans device, maybe we did back then, and he just chose not to wear it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, in something like that, you know, certainly makes everybody reevaluate things. But the sport has clearly gotten a lot safer. And, you know, I don't want to speculate whether if Safer was in there or whether he was using a Hans, what would have happened. But clearly, to my knowledge, I don't believe we've had a death in any of NASCAR's three national touring series since the passing of Dale Earnhardt. So certainly safety's played a big factor over the last 15 years.
All right, you have the NHRA's at your place, Route 66 Raceway, this weekend. Okay, you talk about speed in NASCAR. That's like going out for a Sunday drive with your grandmother compared to these guys.
There, no question about it. It's NHRA drag racing is the fastest form of motorsports on the planet, but bar none. And what drivers like Illinois' own Tony Schumacher will tell you is the impact that a driver feels at that starting line when they hit that throttle is equivalent, and I think science has proved this, to what an astronaut experiences during liftoff of the space shuttle. You're talking 10,000 horsepower machines that are nitromethane fueled that are going from 0 to 325 miles an hour in 4 seconds or less. I mean, think about that. So it's a full body sensory experience, not just for the drivers, but for the fans, the sights, the sounds, the smell of nitromethane in the air. And it's hard to replicate that at
that
home.
Love that smell.
You know, it really is. It's they describe this sport as one that interacts with all five of the human senses like no other.
Scott, I was down at the Indy 500 and actually got a chance to ride around and, I don't know, test car, whatever. It's got the two spin around. And I thought that, you know, I was one of those guys that said, race car driver's not an athlete. You're in a car. Come on. It's all about the vehicle. One of the more intense experiences of my life. So I just want to apologize to you on behalf of all the people like myself who think that your sport is not filled with great athletes, because I was legit. I don't know if I haven't been that awake in maybe my entire life. It was something. Going through the turns, and we were going maybe 180, 190 miles an hour. Stomach's going crazy. Down on the straightaway, the helmet's coming up because the wind's going through. I thought it was going to pop off. I was going to come flying out of the vehicle. It was a cool experience.
You know, no doubt about it. I mean, these drivers are really refined athletes, and sports training and nutrition is a bigger factor than ever before, not just with the drivers, but also for the pit crews. I mean, they're recruiting now college football players and, you know, very proficient athletes to fulfill these roles. Because think about it, if you can shave literally a hundredth or a thousandth of a second off of a pit stop, that could be the difference between finishing first or finishing fourth or fifth in a race. So a lot of money on the line here, and nutrition and strength and training conditioning is a big, big piece of the equation these days.
All right, if people want to go out there, what do they do?
They can actually come on out.
Because every ticket is a pit pass.
You know, it's great. When I talk about this sport, I talk about the emotional experience and I talk about the access. And every ticket is a pit pass. So literally you can watch the action on the drag strip, and then you could walk to what's called Nitro Alley, which is the fan interactive area and where the teams have their pit area. And you can watch these world-class crew chiefs and mechanics and engineers literally break down the engines and rebuild them right in front of your eyes, because the duress on these engines between one qualifying pass and another at those speeds is such, they literally have to rebuild them from scratch. And then the drivers, they're out there. Their motor coaches are right next to the pit area. They're signing autographs. They're interacting with the fans. So it's really about access in this sport. And, you know, it's very gratifying to work in a sport that recognizes and appreciates, you know, the what fans do for the sport and how they give back.
Also on Twitter, Mike Sones at MFatty500, please ask Scott if IndyCar will ever be back at Chicagoland.
You know, I get that question a lot. Some of the IndyCar's best racing and closest finishes ever had occurred at our place. Back in 2011 when I came on board and our NASCAR Sprint Cup race moved to September to kick off the chase, kind of bumped the IndyCar schedule, which was a September race. We've had some dialogue back and forth with them, and you know, I know it's great racing at our place, and we're going to continue to see if we can find the right model to make it work.
Be interesting. It just, for me growing up, I remember the Andy Granatelli STP Mario Andretti car, and then the kart IRL thing happened, and it kind of, NASCAR just went
That you're absolutely right. And NASCAR took off from there, and IndyCar never really found its way since then. It's a good product. I just, you know, I think we've all collectively got to work to get, you know, the fans back engaged in that sport like they were back in the sport's heyday.
All right, again, people want to get tickets, Route66Raceway.com.
That's right, or 888-629-RACE.
888-629-RACE. And then don't forget, the big kickoff of the chase is at your place September 20th.
September 20th, you got it. Going to be one big party.
There you go. It's our guy, Scott Paddock, president of Chicagoland Speedway. Thanks for being here. I'll see you on Sports Talk Live later.
Sounds great.
There you go. Kevin Hall brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That is the Triple Crown of lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. These guys win. Quick time out. We'll be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
All right, so yesterday we played a new little game called F That Alligator.
And well, somebody took that to heart.
Yesterday, what was the name of the guy?
Tommy Woodward.
Tommy Woodward. Again, I don't want to laugh at the departed, but when you're as dumb as Tommy Woodward was, you lose the right to be upset if somebody makes fun of how you leave the earth. Tommy Woodward is drinking at a bar in Orange, Texas. Of course, there's booze involved. He is with a young lady. There's a sign that says, do not enter the water. Alligators have been spotted. An 11-foot alligator. We're not talking about some baby gator, a big gator. And he's drunk, allegedly, and says to her, F that alligator. And as he leaps off the pier, she sees the gator, screams. The gator grabs him. No more Tommy Woodward.
Had a good run.
Not that long. He was only 28.
Yeah, not a great run. But there's breaking news.
Yeah.
Tommy Woodward apparently had a friend by the name of Bear. This is a true story. You can find this online. Bear took the law into his own hands, and he shot and killed that 11-foot alligator. Quote from Bear, he had to go. That's what happens when you kill someone. This was, you know, in that marina, the Burkhart's Marina in Orange, Texas, site of where Tommy took his last breath. The bear went after that alligator, and that alligator is no longer. And now Bear is facing a Class C misdemeanor and a fine of $500 for killing that alligator. Bear is
Bear said, F that alligator.
Bear literally said,
F that alligator.
Bear took the law in his own hands.
You shoot him?
I don't know how.
How did he kill him?
Because
if he rustled him down.
He happy Gilmore'd him.
Let's see here.
Boom!
Does not say.
Couple wrestling moves.
Doesn't say how Bear killed the alligator.
Well, here's
by the way, his name. Let's just pause for emphasis here. His name is Bear. Woodward was Woodward's best buddy, who felt compelled to right a wrong to remember Tommy Woodward. That buddy's name was Bear. You got any friends named Bear, Cappy?
I don't.
I don't have any Bear friends myself.
That leads us to Surf City, North Carolina. The 8th shark attack along the North Carolina coast so far this season. A Marine injured over the weekend. 32-year-old Camp Lejeune Marine treated for bites to his forearm and right hand. He has been released. But we've had a number of people attacked. 8 of them. So let me ask you a question there, Jackal. If you were on a little vacay, a little holiday in North Carolina, and there was the ocean, and 8 people have already been attacked by sharks. They're obviously hungry. Would you and your skinny body go into the water there? Or would you say, I'm going to stay at the pool?
I wouldn't even be on the sand 20 feet near the water.
Oh.
8 people have been bit or eaten by sharks. What are you doing, people?
I don't
what
get.
What are you thinking? What are you doing?
I don't get.
Unless I have a friend named Bear, I'm staying away from the water.
Yeah, but that's Bear's sure. Only going to off the shark for you after you've been eaten.
I don't want to rewind the Jackal's moment with sharks, but just for clarification, Bear shot the alligator. He showed up, shot him in the head, dragged it to the water. Wildlife officials cut open the alligator. They found some of Woodward's remains inside its belly. That's all true.
My God. They also said that 7 other people attacked by sharks along the North Carolina coast the past 3 weeks. Most recent Wednesday, a 68-year-old man injured off Ocracoke Island in North Carolina, Andrew Costello suffered wounds to his rib cage, lower leg, hip, and both hands as he tried to fight off the animal. I just cannot tell you. There's no way that I would ever put myself in that situation. Now, if I was on a boat and it's capsizing, not much I can do. But I have choice. I'm not going into the water there.
Well, okay, would you go in the water if you're doing the Mexico thing?
No, I don't go in the ocean.
Just don't go in.
I go in the pool. I'm a pool guy.
Is that because you're...
We got a pond, we got an ocean, and we got a pool. Pond be good for you. Pool good for me. Ocean, not so much.
Let me just be clear here on your motivation. Are you not going in the ocean because it's salt water and the waves?
The salt water, the sand, and the fact that I have no interest in getting stung by a jellyfish or bitten by a shark.
But mainly it's the salt water. It's not really fear, or is it? Please be clear. I know it's hard to understand ourselves because I have trouble myself.
Like, there's a little bit of the trepidation that I don't know what's around there because I've been in the ocean and a piece of seaweed will go up against my leg. I mean, whoa, what is that? Yeah, no shot.
Does Mindy like to get in the...
No, absolutely not.
So you guys just hang in that pool?
Yeah.
Do you even touch the beach?
Rare. Might take a walk on the beach a good distance back, but that's it.
So you... Wait a second. Let's just put this all together now.
I've gone for a run on the beach.
You fly to Mexico.
Yeah.
Not exactly next door. You go all the way to Mexico.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful beach, ocean, the whole deal.
I look at the ocean from my room.
You look at the ocean from your room.
Yeah.
That's what... that. You're from your air-conditioned Cappy suite that overlooks the ocean. That's that's all you're willing to do.
Pretty much.
You know, they've got these pools at, you know, Hampton Inns in Indiana.
Really? So in the middle of December, January, February, when it's bitter cold here, I want to go to a Hampton Inn in the middle of Indiana.
Well, they got indoor pools. I mean, you're almost, at that point, it's almost the same thing. You might as well just go indoor and just hang out.
I want the hot weather. It's all I care about is the warmth.
Okay.
Like today, 68 degrees here. What is going on?
I don't know. Something's going on. But that's, I'm not swimming with sharks. Rewinding it back. Nope. But I do like the ocean. There's a certain piece of being in the ocean.
That's why I live here. We don't have sharks. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have to deal with that nonsense. The record-breaking number of shark bites might be related to an unseasonably hot June. Unseasonably hot June, huh? That rapidly raised ocean temperatures off North Carolina prompted fish to migrate north earlier than usual, said Chuck Bengley, a shark researcher at East Carolina University.
People that you see all the shows, right, guys? Just, I mean, Shark Week's right now. We got show after show after show.
Shark Week on iTunes right now. Go on there, you get a free episode of some kind of shark-related show.
People have a lot more guts than I possess. Jump in the water, have a video thing, look at that shark and get you an up-close view of its teeth.
Like if I told you I could drop you into a shark-proof cage.
Yeah.
Lower you down a good 50, 60 feet.
No.
With a camera.
No, that's not going
to
happen.
And great whites are going to swim up to you.
I'm not in.
You're in a shark-proof cage.
I'm not doing it.
Why?
You would do that?
A shark-proof cage. I'm guaranteed.
You're not. There's no guarantee. You're in the water 50, 60 feet down. There's sharks around you. Who knows how aggressive they're going to get?
And what if I'm guaranteeing you?
There's no guarantee. You can't guarantee that. If I was going with experts, the kings of the shark world, I'd go. But I'd be scared out of my mind, and I don't think I'd enjoy it all that much. I'd probably do it. I certainly, you couldn't lower me down there by myself and say, go enjoy this. We'll roll you back up in 10 minutes. Nah, I'm good.
I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, no. I don't need that moment in my life to feel like I've lived a full life. No.
What's the name of the guy who ran into the gator?
Bear.
Tommy Woodward.
Tommy Woodward. Defended now by bear. That alligator had to go.
Unbelievable, man.
Can you imagine the mentality?
Wow.
I'm going to go take care of that alligator. He grabs his gun, goes to the marina, shoots him, drags him into the water.
Wait.
Take that.
Shelton Reed on Twitter says, at the Catman, since I watch Swamp People, what is Swamp People? Is that a show? Bear probably pulled a Troy Landry. Quote, we got to shoot that gator. Google Troy Landry. Troy Landry. I don't know who Troy Landry is.
Oh, Jackal just sent me a picture of Tommy Woodward. And let me tell you something. He looks exactly how you expect him to look. I'm going to tweet it out right now.
I've seen that picture.
Yeah. At the Carm. I love followers. I'm sending out Tommy. RIP right now. That guy's a beauty. Weird.
Bad.
Oh, boy. Tommy. Tommy and Bear have been buddies for a long time.
What's going on in our country in the last few days? We've got shark attacks up the wazoo. We got Tommy Woodward being eaten by a gator after he said, F that gator. And now we have Jared, the Subway guy.
Oh, Jared.
With the FBI at his house in a child porn investigation.
Yeah, that doesn't look good for Jared.
Does not.
FBI
isn't showing up and confiscating all your electronics.
He's probably at his last number six. I don't know if they're going to deliver that to him. I don't know if he could get a BMT behind bars where he belongs, you sick, sick, sick.
Wait. It's all alleged.
Okay,
Mark.
Alleged.
Alleged.
Right. Okay.
Keep it with the alleged thing.
Yeah, well, when they're coming in and there's FBI at your door and they're grabbing your computer, I mean, maybe he can enlist Johnny Cochran to
get
him
off. The way, did you see the picture of him coming out of the FBI van in front of his house?
Has he not lost the weight?
Jared's put a few back.
Hasn't been just completely living as
I don't think he's doing 6 inches. I think he's doing foot logs. He's looked like he put on about 100 pounds back. Wouldn't you say? I mean, he looked big.
He's put some back. No question. No question about it.
Has Jared been on a Subway commercial as of late? Have we noticed a Jared?
I haven't seen it. I have not seen Jared on a commercial
of
late.
Now you got it. You got.
Didn't they used to have Jared with like two celebrity athletes? Like Strahan and somebody else.
That's true. He was living that dream. Maybe Subway felt that Jared has run its course. And perhaps it's really a sick, 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 vile story. But Jared.
Wow.
Like that guy, he never struck me as a normal dude. He just didn't. It's just a little bit odd. You were a huge man, then you lost all this weight eating Subways. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, it obviously worked. I mean, they did their due diligence on it, and it was a very successful campaign for a long time.
He must have been Jackal's saying he was walking 2 miles a day to go get his Subway sandwich. I mean, if he was walking 2 miles a day to go get a Big Mac, he might lose weight, too.
And then one last thing on the since we're doing animal stories. So did you hear what happened at the Minnesota Zoo?
I did not hear
Minnesota
what happened.
Zoo, where I've been. I've been to the Minnesota Zoo. I went to college up there.
You were a star at Hamline University.
Star very loosely. Grizzly bear at the Minnesota Zoo picked up a basketball-sized rock in his little enclosure there, and he's behind glass, and the public is out there, and he picked up the basketball-sized rock, whipped it at the glass, and the glass shattered.
That's an uncomfortable moment.
Oh, man.
What was the animal in there?
Grizzly bear.
What did the grizzle do?
The grizzle picked up a basketball-sized rock, according to USA Today, and he whipped it, and it shattered the glass. Holy smokes. Hey, kids, want to go see the grizzly bear exhibit? Sure, Mom and Dad. All of a sudden, grizzly bear said, did I hear you say, F that grizzly bear? No, I was talking to the alligator.
Honestly, if that happened to me right in front of me,
oh, my God.
No one would ever move faster than me in that moment. It would be Wile E. Coyote.
And you know what they've put up there now? It says, brown bears will be off limits for a few days while we repair the exhibit. I mean, really.
How has that not happened more often, really? There's some exhibits, like I was down in Busch Gardens in Tampa a while back. There was it wasn't really enclosed. Like, how could they not get out? Like, there was trees, and I don't know if there was an electrical fence or something that was holding them in there, but I'm like, this doesn't feel safe at all. I was like, I think I better get on out of here.
You go there for a nice day at the zoo, and all of a sudden, the grizzly bear picks up a basketball-sized boulder. Boom!
Seven. Jeez. What's 708? What's next? F that grizzly bear.
F that grizzly bear.
630 about Jared. The most recent Jared Subway commercials have him as a skinny cartoon, just using his voice, which is a creative way of going about
it. I'm looking at the picture of him coming out of the FBI police evidence truck right now. This picture was just tweeted out. Jared is not skinny Jared anymore. Holy smokes.
Jared's going to have to get used to a new diet, allegedly.
And you know that his Jared Foundation, he has a Jared Foundation, the ex-executive director faces federal child porn charges from 2 months ago. Problems.
And by the way, a guy texting here, animal didn't know wrong, he was just trying to eat, a natural behavior. That's true. There's no way that animal deserved to die.
The gator?
Yeah, the gator. Bear is way out of bounds.
F that gator.
You jumped into the pond. You don't get to kill the gator because your buddy Tommy Woodward
was an idiot.
That's not right. He should be behind bars, Bear, for at least a little while.
Cap and Haw brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. You need a personal injury lawyer, that's who you call. Horowitz, Horowitz and Associates. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That's the triple crown of lawyering. Now I say you go for the royal flush. You defend Bear for the gator attack and the grizzly bear attack. Take a time out. We'll come right back. Cap and Hawk.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is Page Two.
All right, time for Page Two here on Cap and Haw. Carmen for D-Haw, who's on vacation. Here you go. Bryce Harper makes it official. He will not participate in next week's Home Run Derby. Harper's father, Ron, had shoulder surgery following a snowboarding accident recently. His father pitched to him during the 2013 Home Run Derby, and Harper didn't want to participate without his dad on the mound. Derby do anything for you?
No.
I love the Home Run Derby.
Oh.
Love it. I'm a
Come
big
on.
Fan. Yeah.
I like the fact that they're speeding it up today. It's a
I may watch the Home Run Derby from vacation.
That would be the sickest thing that you've ever done in your career. If you really do take time away from a beautiful get up, what would that be, like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning to watch the Derby? It will be better this year because they're putting the time limit on, so you can't
Chris
just sit
Bryant
there.
Chris Bryant, that'd be fun.
Don't care.
Smoke a cigar, have a nice cocktail, and watch that.
And you don't, do you smoke cigars now? When did that happen?
No, I don't.
Okay. Maybe things could change, though, when you go overseas, Cappy.
Never know.
You could be a whole nother guy.
Never know.
So, yeah, no, I'm not a Home Run Derby person. I am a huge fan of tennis, though, Cappy, and Novak Djokovic. I know you've been following this match closely. He dropped the first two sets yesterday to Kevin Anderson, 7-6, 7-6, and then Novak came and won the third and fourth, 6-1, 6-4. Mm-hmm. Then it had to be suspended, and they finished it up today with Novak beating Anderson 7-5, coming back from two sets down to advance to the quarterfinals, the number one seed at Wimbledon. We haven't done a lot of Wimbledon talk here, so I figured that it was appropriate that we get it in at some point. Also, in the second set today, Serena Williams right now is trailing Victoria Azarenka 1-0, 6-3. She lost the first, leading in the second set. I'm going to guess they're on serve 3-2. So you got some tennis going at you, Cappy. American Madison Keys also on the court today. I know you're a big fan of Madison Keys.
Who cares?
It's not nice, Derek.
Yeah, I'm not a tennis guy.
Somebody's been texting about Wimbledon all day today, so I feel good getting it in because he knows I'm a tennis guy.
Great. You done?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Who cares?
Mark Cuban said it was DeAndre Jordan or Tank. We wanted to get Wes. He was a target for us all summer, and obviously DeAndre as well. But if we got shut out, I think he was talking to Wes Matthews, but if we got shut out, we weren't going to just try to fill the roster. Cubitt said during a recent radio interview with The Ticket, KTCK AM 1310 in Dallas. We had the discussion that if we couldn't get a serious free agent, whether it was one of those guys still out there or some of the guys who already went, then it was time to take a step back. They still have Dirk Nowitzki. They've got some good players down there. Big-time coach and Rick Carlisle, and yet they didn't get DeAndre Jordan. They were blowing her up.
Well, they were a seventh seed last year, and Dirk's up there, so it makes sense, but they hit a home run, man. Chris Paul, you blew it, and Dallas has benefited, so give them credit. They've reworked that roster. They're right in the mix. You know, the West has gotten even better. Dallas is going to be big time next year. All right, this one's for you, Cap, because I know you pride yourself on doing everything the right way and sort of like a Russell Wilson of radio, so maybe you should take this into your life. He is abstaining from sex with his girlfriend, Kiara, because Ciara, whatever.
Yeah, I was about to say. Sierra? Is it Ciara?
What is it? Sierra? Ciara? C-I-A-R-A. My
Ciara.
Apologies.
You don't know who that is?
No. Should I know who Ciara is?
Yeah, she's exceptionally attractive and very successful as a singer.
Is he out kicking his covers? Because Russell's very good looking himself.
They're a beautiful couple.
Beautifully matched. Well, this beauty is not being put to its full use, apparently, because Wilson was talking to the Rock Church. He's a very religious guy. And he says, yeah, we're talking about sex. For me, I knew that God had brought me into her life to bless her and for her to bless me and to bless so many people with the impact that she has and that I have. We're not going to be perfect by any means. Life's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But he's anointed both of us. And I know that he's calling for us to do something miraculous, something special. And I said to her, and she completely agreed, could we love each other without that? That, of course, being sex.
Low shot.
If you can really love somebody without that, then you can really love somebody. And from my own experience, you can love somebody without that years after you've had all that. But I don't think you can really love somebody without.
What do you mean all these years after?
I'm just saying, I think in any relationship it gets a little dull after a period of time, and you don't need that as badly as you need that when you're starting, because at the start, that is that, and there's only that, and you spend your days wondering when the next time you're going to have that is. And for them to do, and
you cannot be in a healthy relationship if you're not having good that.
I agree with you on that point, Cap. But I'm just saying, historically,
that is exceptionally important to a relationship.
It is. Historically, I understand how that can fall by the wayside sometimes if you're not, you know, doing things that you should be doing, keeping up the communication. But this is shocking that Russell is saying that's really putting your money or something else where your mouth is. Wow. Good job, Russell.
One of the biggest busts in NFL history, the Players Tribune of Derek Jeter fame, caught up with Albert Hainsworth, who penned an open letter to himself, the 14-year-old self version, in which he revealed a lot of things, namely that playing for the Redskins, who signed him to a $100 million contract, caused him to lose his passion for football. Hainsworth writes about meeting with Mike Shanahan and learning the then Skins coach simply wanted him to grab the center to let the linebackers run free and eat space. Hainsworth writes, he was stunned to learn about his responsibilities given his contract and eventually fell out of love with the game. Quote, he's writing to himself, you will lose your passion for football in Washington and it will be impossible to get back. If nothing else, listen to me on this, Albert. Do not leave the Tennessee Titans. Your defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, is a mastermind. No matter how much I tell you this, you'll probably never realize it until your career is over. But it's true. You're like a system quarterback. You thrive in a very specific scheme. Pretty interesting that he was willing to have that honesty with himself.
Yeah, and I did not expect that Albert was going to come clean about his whole experience around the Redskins and whatnot.
Crazy.
Yeah. I got a good one for you, Cappy. It's just involving a close friend of yours. That would be Coach K. You guys are boys, right?
I like Coach K a lot. We have a nice relationship.
You've had him in the office here, the whole deal.
He bought me dinner at the snack bar here. The
story goes here that he was at a town hall interview with the WRAL, and Coach K felt like he was 13 years old, and the Sporting News talks is transcribing the interview. At any rate, he meets Beyonce. So after the event was over, this is Coach K talking, I had to get back, and the photographers took a photo of me, Jay-Z, and LeBron. And he says that his street cred is bouncing high. But I hadn't gotten to meet Beyonce, so I went up to Beyonce and said, I'm Coach K, which... just amazing that Coach K would feel the need.
Or that he wouldn't go, hi, I'm Mike.
Yeah.
Or Mike Krzyzewski from Duke.
Yeah, my name
is Coach K.
I'm Coach K. Easy, Coach K. God bless him. You are Coach K. And she says back to me, I heard you speak for 10 minutes, Coach K.
I know who you are.
I know who you are. So I felt like 13. And then I asked her something I hardly ever ask anyone to do. Would you please take a picture with me? Coach K to Beyonce.
I wonder if that's like the wallpaper on his iPhone.
I don't know what you do with that picture, but you don't lose it. Coach K really wanted the pick with Beyonce. So even the celeb of the celebs, number one coach in all of college hoop, he still gets a little starstruck when he gets in front of a Beyonce. I would love to meet Beyonce.
She's amazing.
I think she'd like me. Me and Beyonce. We'd have something in common. Share a...
oh, my God.
Share a musical moment.
WBO strip pound for pound King Floyd Mayweather of his welterweight world title on Monday for his failure to comply with the organization's rules. Mayweather holds two other alphabet welterweight world titles. Let come and go the 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time Friday deadline by which he had to pay a $200,000 sanctioning fee for the May 2nd fight and vacate the two junior middleweight titles he also holds. It's against sanctioning organization rules for boxers to hold world titles in multiple weight classes. WBC, WBA had been breaking their own rules by allowing Mayweather to hold their titles, but the WBO upheld its rules. Okay, now if he paid the $200, did they let him keep the belt? Or did he go, I don't really care about your stupid belt. I got two others. I'm not giving you $200,000. Although, if he really wanted to be the WBO champion, he earned $225 to $230 million by winning the title on that May 2nd fight. Who cares? Write the check.
Yeah, and too many leagues, too many WBAs, WBOs, W don't care. Work on simplifying your boxing world. Too confusing.
All right. F that alligator.
See you later, Bear.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Frank Kaminsky, Wisconsin Basketball National Player of the Year. That's whack, bro. And who knows what else we may have cooked up on the program. Might even talk to somebody from the Blue Jays. We'll see. Take a time out with you. Back tomorrow. See ya.
All right. Well, see you later.